Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Yes.
Guess what?
What?
We're fucking back!
We're back!
Hey, what's your name?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ghost Podcast, episode 381. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dios. Yo soy the great white dope, Maddie Ding Dong.
And this is Ree.
Well, hello, fellers. It's been almost 3 weeks.
Something like
almost
that.
Almost 2 weeks. Like it. Yeah. Goodness it's been gracious. At least 2 weeks. Well, Matt took himself a trip to the great island of Nippon.
That's true. Top home, dude.
Yakisoba beaver.
Yeah, I did see yakisoba beaver.
Yakisoba beaver.
I saw yakisoba beaver. That was dope.
Otakobe beaver. We need to get this right.
That was dope. it's clearly October beaver. Yeah, it's quite fun. Had a blast. Went with the homie Rick.
And great people.
You know, if you want to know more, subscribe to my OnlyFans. There's plenty of videos on there. So
are you guys always talking about how great this fucking Rick guy is every time?
Because he's dope.
He is pretty
real
dope.
Real fucking salt of the earth people. Nice guy, I know.
It's true. So by salt of the earth, it's like he's beneath you.
Yeah.
Like, are you salt of the earth?
No. See, salt of the earth means, you know, it comes from the earth, and salt makes everything better. So that's Rick.
Oh.
That's why he's salt of the earth.
Okay.
Because
if you take something that's just gross and you put some salt on it, you know what? It's a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
While you were in Japan, did you watch or play anything?
No. I watched a bunch of wrestling. I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once on the plane.
We already talked about that. You don't need to mention your shit.
Yep, you know.
Or your shit opinions.
Fine film, just not for me.
Keep your opinions in your pocket.
Well, don't ask then. yeah, that's pretty much it. I just watched a bunch of wrestling, listened to a bunch of ska, took some weird pictures like that contorts your face and makes you look like some painted up whore. Me and Rick took those photos together. It was really fun. It made him white, so that's fun.
like kabuki?
Not quite kabuki, but almost. Like, it made my face, like, just porcelain white and made my lips really red and, like, contoured my face even more so I looked almost like an alien.
Oh, yeah, that's the...
It's something.
Yeah.
It's fucking something. But, yeah, it was really fun. I think I'm going back in August. Definitely going back in January. So, yeah, hoping to move there by the end of 2025. So, good stuff.
There is that.
So we'll be doing the show remotely.
Yeah.
Real remote.
Yeah. With a 7-hour time difference. Oof.
Try to schedule that, brother.
Why not, dude?
What do you mean, why not?
Why not?
Why not what?
Why not do it remote, 7-hour time difference?
You hate doing it remote.
Yeah, well, you're the one. You hate doing it.
Yeah. I've been trying to quit for 3 years now.
Well, say that, man.
Every time I think I'm out, you pull me back in.
What about you, little homie?
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Matt mentioned he was able to go to the Universal Studios in Osaka.
I was.
And she and I went to the Universal Studios in Hollywood.
It was your second time, right?
No, that was the first time. Because I was having a hard time understanding what you meant with your text.
Because I thought you went like a month ago.
No, I talked about that we got tickets. It opened last Friday. It opened on the 17th. So we went on Sunday, which is 2 days after it opened. And, you know, you got to go there and get there like when the park opens to get your virtual time, like via the app, because you got to be on the premises to get your virtual time.
Did not know that until it was too late.
Yeah, I fucking Googled. I was not going to show up there and then be like, we can't get in, you know. So I looked into all that, thankfully. They did a great fucking job. The atmosphere is awesome. I mean, I'm sure in Osaka it's pretty much identical.
It looked identical, like, yeah, I mean, to your photos.
Yeah. Having it over here, though, like, you know, because it's not fucking Japan and how, how much gatekeeping Nintendo has done with this stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. And friggin' the interactive aspects with the coin thing, with the little wristband. That was cool. There was a key challenge where you find keys in the area that unlocks other rooms.
We didn't do any of that because we got in with like an hour and a half left in the park being open. But I really wanted to. So I think I'm going to try and go to the one up here on a weekday or something.
Definitely recommend it. And the thing is, too, it's only one ride so far, the Mario Kart ride.
They didn't have the Yoshi's Adventure one?
Not yet. And this, you can tell this is like a soft, I don't want to say a soft launch and all that, but... This bodes well for the future because right now it's just Mario.
Oh, yeah.
You can think of it kind of as like the equivalent of Universal Studios Toontown, like because it's a small area, but it's very immersive and you feel like you're there. And, you know, they have that one ride, Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was weird. Great companion to Killer Condom.
Absolutely.
I thought it was really weird that they called it Super Nintendo World with it being all Mario, but I get your point because we were looking for Legend of Zelda stuff, like even like merchandise, you know, and nothing.
Well, yeah. And, well, they're all of a sudden really diversifying their IP with the Mario movie coming out in April. You know, like, I'm not mad about this stuff.
Also, I just learned that he's not called Toad in Japan. He's called, like, Canopio. So I'm, like, walking around like, what the fuck is a Canopio?
That's Star Wars, dude.
Canopio's Cafe. And, like, finally, I was like...
Obi-Wan Canopio.
I was like, Obi-Wan Canopio. Is Toad called something else over here? And sure as shit.
And then...
Canopio.
I hadn't... The only other time I've been to Universal Studios was a few years ago with a person, a carbon-based life form.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
For the Horror Nights thing, which was dope, but I hadn't gone on the other stuff, really, like the Jurassic World revamp and all that. Did you guys, people who listen to the show, I'm not a fan of Michael Bay except as a joke or for movies like Pain and Gain and Ambulance was hilarious. But those Transformers movies are terrible to me, right? Mm-hmm. That fucking ride...
I didn't even realize they had a Transformer ride.
It's 4 minutes long, and it's designed... Obviously, all the fucking engineers of these rides do amazing work, and they had to fucking step it up to be in competition with Disney. This was the heaviest fucking ride. It's a motion simulator with 3D on a track, right? Mm. So it's got all three things going on. The shit did not stop. It was like all the fucking shit in a Transformers movie, which is 2.5 hours, packed into 4 minutes, and then fucking Megatron's like screaming at you. It was like fucking like a Meshuggah ride, dude. It was fucking dope.
Did you get fucking tractor testicles, dude?
No.
Fuck.
They didn't do that. Fuck. But he did. There's like a robot dog right at the beginning, and then a fucking guy comes and rips its head off. I'm like, oh, it's that kind of ride? Like,
hell yeah.
What kind of fucking ride is this?
Hell yeah.
One of my favorite memories ever was going to Universal with...
One of my favorite memories was ripping a head off a dog.
With Mikey, and we went on mushrooms... Old host Mikey, original host Mikey, went on mushrooms just on the tram ride. Oh my God, that was the funniest shit because our like tram driver was just like walking, talking, living anime. Like she was just decked out, looking full like anime, had the full like stereotypical like Japanese sex voice.
Oh.
And on mushrooms, that shit was absolutely hilarious. We went where they like part the Red Sea and they're like, watch out, you might get wet. So we're all sitting there with our feet up like this,
yeah,
thinking we're going to get soaked for like 2 minutes. And they just meant you might get a little mist. So
they revamped that whole fucking tour. Like we ended up doing the tour at night, which I will always do it at night now. Cause when you go to the fucking psycho house, right?
Oh yeah.
It was amazing.
And Kong still there or did they get rid of him?
They have a whole part now where you go inside. And Peter Jackson directed a sequence, and it's 3D. They have you put on 3D glasses, and they use the fact that you're on a tram to their advantage because you're surrounded on all sides with a screen, and you can't see where the screen is because you're in a fucking tram. Mm. And it's got action going on one side of the tram, and then, you know, you feel the weight on the tram, and then it goes over to the other side. It's extremely immersive, like a motion simulator, but instead of it being a screen in front of you, it's on both sides of you. So you can't fucking see where the screen ends. And it's dope as fuck. And then, what else? What else did they do? The park is really cool now.
Yeah. It's the one in LA is way, way bigger than Osaka. They have the original Jaws ride in Osaka, which was cool.
Yep.
And they had a fun Jurassic Park ride called like the Flying Pterodactyl, where you're kind of just like basically hanging face down. And it only lasts like 40 seconds. But damn, it was... The 40 seconds was worth the hour and a half wait.
And the shit they did with, like, Hogsmeade, like the Harry Potter thing. Have you been there recently, Horner?
I haven't.
Dude, They fucking did a crazy job with. I'm not some huge, but I've seen all the movies once, right? And Sophia's not seen any of them. She's like
complete. That's a mistake.
She's completely fucking sold on them now. We bought cloaks for Hell Ravenclaw. Yeah.
Did you buy a wand?
She didn't buy a wand because the thing is, we don't like that it says it's like the type of wood, and it's just plastic saying it's that type of wood.
Oh no! Like the at least in Florida, the one I got was actual wood. I got one of the Death Eater wands. It's super dope.
Yeah, but freaking dude, the ride they have Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. Like, and of course, a lot of these listeners, I'm late to this. They opened that in 2016 here. That shit was amazing.
Did you get a butter beer?
No, of course
they're so good.
Is it like actual beer?
No. No, they sell them to kids. It's mostly like a cream soda, but it's really good.
You know what was fucking good?
Of course not, dude.
Krusty Burger.
In the oh, Simpsons. I went there. Yep.
And they have a fucking a vegan burger, and it was one of the... Dude, like seriously, that they even had that there was great. And something about having Simpsons episodes on with a shitload of people, like half of us in the fucking eating area were transfixed
watching we went there when we went with Hans and Hans and company.
Hell yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Did you get any of the food in Mario World or in the Super Nintendo World?
We didn't try the cafe.
Dude, so we didn't go to the cafe, but we went to Canopio's Cafe, so like Toad's Cafe.
Yeah.
The desserts were amazing. Like, it blew my mind how good the desserts were. And I don't know if that's just indicative of you know, being in Japan or if it's like actually that good here.
Yeah.
But all of the desserts were so good.
Well, according to what people said, they said that the cafe here was really good, but it was like a 2-hour wait just to get in. Of course, because it just opened.
Yeah, there was a little cafe like kind of just like a stand, and that one had a line out the door, but the actual like Toad's Cafe in the Super Nintendo World was like 10-minute wait.
Dude,
that's super cool. I got one of those little golden mushrooms that's like filled with chocolate coins, and it's hella tight.
That's dope.
And our
tomorrow we're going to LA. Are you gonna go or no?
Unlikely.
Tomorrow is JPEG Mafia and clipping.
I've got Wick.
We're going to meet up with one of the listeners. Donovan is coming.
Cool.
It's going to be dope.
Is he the one that's supposed to tell Deadzy they suck?
I was about to say, you know what they say about Deadzy. It's a band. And and Sunday is fucking Show Me the Body with a bunch of other bands at Brick by Brick here. It's going to be fucking wild.
Hell yeah.
Other listeners, Cthulhu Christ and his brother, were going to go, but I guess it sold out.
His brother has a name, dude.
Oh, yeah?
His name is Paul.
I know his fucking name, dude. I've been talking to him.
Say it.
We flirt.
Say it.
Paul.
There you go.
Paul told me it was sold out, and I was like, so it is. It is sold out. So that's Sunday. And then, it's a busy week. I'm looking forward to it. How about you, Jorge?
I'm good.
What you been doing?
Work,
Where's basically. The jacuzzi?
Yeah, where is it?
Still sitting there waiting for electricity. It's just it's my entire life waiting for electricity. That's what I'm waiting for. Electricity.
Have either of you gentlemen watched any horrific things?
I ain't watched shit.
No. I mean, Last of Us, yes.
Yeah, but we're not talking about
that. I've been watching a show called Shrinking. Which I already talked about.
I heard about that.
Pretty decent. It's held up.
Harrison Ford and
yeah.
I know the new season of You came out on Netflix, and I'm gonna watch that shit.
You
have you guys watched that Elizabeth Olsen show with fucking stupid Todd from Breaking Bad on HBO Max?
What is it?
No. I forget what it's called, but it looks crazy. I saw a trailer before the new episode of The Last of Us. Looks real good. Plus, she's the best Olsen, for sure.
She is the best Olsen.
She showed
Olsen.
Her tits.
Well,
she's also the best actress of the three. Is there more than three? I don't know.
If there is, then she's still the best.
Yeah.
You don't even know who they are.
That's true. But yeah, she's the best one.
They could be great people, you know, but we'll never know that.
Yeah.
I watched, Sophia and I watched Psycho, which is on Peacock, because that's
the Universal. Vince Vaughn movie.
No. That fucking movie's dope, obviously, right? You got a tattoo of it, Matt.
George used to have a big poster in his living room.
We watched, I watched Possession.
Psycho.
Oh, it wasn't in my living room, was it?
Yeah, at the three-story house.
You're right. That's right. I don't know what happened to that.
I watched Possession again. It's on fucking Shudder. That movie, that is one of, I think it's one of my favorites of the genre.
Is that the Cronenberg one?
No, that's the one we were talking about doing on the show.
Oh, the 80s back. One?
Yes.
Fuck. Okay, I still haven't watched that. I didn't know you watched it yet.
Dude, it's fucking over the top insane with the acting and, you know, I don't know how you'll react to it. I think it was one of those two where I was looking into it because I liked it and then I looked into it and I liked it more and then watched it again. And Sophia had, she was just really put off by how much yelling there is in the movie. It's fucking Sam Neill and it's about a guy, a relationships. It's basically like the ultimate like nightmarish fucking breakup movie you could think of.
Like Wedding Story? Like, was it Marriage Story? Wedding Story? What was that? The one with Adam Driver?
It paints the picture of a breakup as like a surreal nightmare. And I don't think I've seen a movie do it like that. You know, and it, if you've had a real fucking bad breakup, it is like a surreal nightmare type deal. And it brings that, but like over the top. Anyway, and then it goes to some bizarre places that are really good. But oh, The Entity. They finally have The Entity available to stream. I think fucking, where did I see it? On Stars.
What's The Entity?
The Entity is a 1980s movie that's based on a true story with Barbara Hershey. And I had never seen it, but I'd always heard about it since I was a kid. This entity rapes her. It's an invisible. So there's these.
Oh God, I love movies where ghosts fuck people.
That's what I'm. It's the ultimate ghost fucking someone movie. And it goes actually over the top in the scenes. And it had like a lot of bad press because of that at the time. But the movie's aged well. And it has like a strong like parapsychology thing in it. Like the whole fucking metaphysics of it. Because those guys get involved. It's like Poltergeist rated R with ghost rape. And, nice. And just not as well acted.
If you want to see another movie with people fucking ghosts, there's one that came out in like 2015 called Lovely Molly.
Yeah.
I remember liking it, but, you know, my memory is
short. Ever hear about this small little movie, Ghostbusters? Somebody gets fellatio from a ghost? I've
never heard that. Well, and Dan Aykroyd, he's like all about it, though. This chick is like, no, I don't want to be raped in the shower.
Well, you can suck the ectoplasm out of my balls.
Isn't that like the ultimate thing where it's like, well, if it's a dude, of course he's going to lay there and fucking be down with it because like, ugh.
Well, it's like the same deal as a fucking nocturnal emission. Who's to say we didn't get sucked off by a ghost?
Oh, that just made me enjoy the idea of nocturnal emissions even more.
It's a ghost sucking off.
Yeah. I just thought it was me dry humping my mattress.
Just as Jorge said, got up to episode 6 of The Last of Us, so we're almost there. There's 9 episodes for this first season before we do the show on it, right? And then there's
I don't know if you know this, but the first season is going to be the first movie, and then season 2 and 3 is the second movie.
Get him, yeah, you're getting yourself.
That wasn't me.
No, it was some.
Well, you're still kind of getting yourself, though.
How? That wasn't me. I never said anything about that. That's.
I think you kind of did, some brother. Fucking
stooge on Patreon.
Hey,
got him.
You're not allowed to talk shit about Patreon.
Got one.
I can talk shit about Patreon. No way. No, and then Stolen Youth, which is a Hulu docuseries about a fucking dude from the intelligence community who like basically mind fucks a bunch of college kids and creates a cult. Who doesn't like these docuseries like this, right?
Who doesn't like cults?
It's a 3-part fucking dope docuseries on Hulu, and it's super interesting, and it's really well done, actually. It's not very sensationalized, and it's called Stolen Youth, and that's kind of on brand, because you would not, if this was like a fucking movie, you would not believe this shit happened. You'd be like, it makes no fucking sense. It's unrealistic, and it happened.
Oh, yeah, just like Jesus Camp.
Just like Jesus.
You know, and I can't speak to...
Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus coming back.
What would Jesus do?
Probably like 2 chicks at the same time, man.
He'd do shrooms with John the Baptist and I say, figure if fuck like, the establishment.
I figure if you could be the kind of guy that turns wine into water, that's something you could pull off.
Other way, dude.
And hanging out with prostitutes.
Yeah, water into wine. Well, you know, I don't drink, though, so, you know, wine.
That's why you would want it.
Wine into water.
Jesus pulled mad hoes, dude.
And I can't...
at least one.
That's because he's hung like this. I can't speak to whether or not it's good, but I saw The Witch Part 2 was added to Shudder, and that was
I was going to say, it's like, I saw The Witch Part 2. I can't say if it's good or not.
No, I haven't.
I was like, wow, that's Matt for you, right?
I haven't watched it yet, but I just saw it got added to Shudder, and The Witch Part 1 Subversion was my top movie of
a couple years ago.
That was a good film.
Yeah, I just saw it was added.
Where was today. This film made?
Korea.
Oh, so we can't see it for this month. Darn it. No,
this is Japan month.
Japan!
Speaking of which, the Who Goes For Podcast watched 1988's Akira, directed by Katsuhiro Otomo.
Mm.
Accent on the O, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Starring or voiced, well, it depends on which version you watch, but if you watch the dubbed version, who knows, because I don't know. If you watch the captioned version, starring Mitsuo Iwata, Nozomi Sasaki, Mami Koyama. Who cares, dude? It's a bunch of voice
actors.
Yeah,
you don't know any of them.
You don't really know them. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of Akira?
That's a fucking stupid question because I love this movie. This movie
was conceptual sci-fi.
This movie was one of the first anime I ever saw, and this movie is single-handedly responsible for starting my love of not only anime, but Japan as well. I feel like this movie is actually really relevant today because I feel like at its base, it's just a film
They're
about...
blowing shit up in Ohio, dude.
No, it's a film about people who are trying to survive an event that is much larger than they are. And that's really what we're all trying to do now is just trying to survive all of this shit that's happening around us. And God damn, I love this movie. It's fucking beautiful. It was like really like the...
So that's my bad. That's my bad, homie. Go ahead.
Dope. Experimental. Well,
yeah, okay.
I'm going on my guard in this bitch.
This movie is really responsible for introducing anime to Western audiences in a time where it wasn't a thing. And even like major directors like Spielberg couldn't see it working over here, but it just kind of kicked down the door and... It blew up over here, and it's responsible for every fucking anime you've ever seen. Because without Akira, you wouldn't have Evangelion or whatever the fuck it is, or you wouldn't have half of these Miyazaki movies still. Yeah, there you go. You wouldn't have that shit. Like this movie.
I don't know that I would.
This movie is a goddamn masterpiece. And the funny thing is, it doesn't look. Move or feel like anything modern, but it inspired all of that. And it's kind of like fallen out of the discussion of like modern anime fans. And you only really hear like hardcore fucking weebs talking about it these days. But holy shit, this movie's just as good as the first time I saw it.
This movie is to anime what AC/DC is to classic rock. So basically, if you're a total normie, you like this movie. I'm just kidding. This movie is fucking. This was in my top 10 favorite movies.
Oh yeah,
ever for many years. Now it's still in my top 25. This is one where I rarely do this, but I'm totally comfortable doing it. You've said it before, and I was like, "What?" I didn't even rewatch it because I watched this movie probably in its entirety over 30 times.
Oh, so you didn't watch it for this episode?
No, I could go to Akira with you right now. I could almost go scene for scene with this movie.
Hell yeah,
I've watched this movie a lot. I've watched it in different states of mind at different times of my life. I've watched it on acid. I've watched it drunk. I've watched it high. I've watched it sober. I've watched it when I was still Mormon as a fucking teenager. It compelled me further to stop being Mormon as well. Like, it's time to leave these things behind and expand your horizon and embrace the idea of having the energy of an amoeba and your cellular memory. You've got billions of years of cellular memory. To tap into, and you need to get fucked up and tap into it, man. And listen to Tool, dude. Oh,
dude.
No, I mean,
too late, dude.
Too late, bro. No, anyway.
I've already spiraled out.
The animation in it is like, I was looking it up. It's one of the most smoothly animated movies like I've ever seen. It makes sense. It's usually animated films like this are 12 frames per second. And they reserve 24 frames per second.
12 to 24.
For real fast movements, this whole thing is usually, is almost the whole thing, 24 frames per second. So it's so smooth. You can take it a variety of different, I love the conceptual parts of it. I love the fucking body horror of it. The ending, like the lore that's like around it that you don't really see, but that it suggests. I know there's the manga, of course, which I never got into. I don't think I ever will, honestly, because I just kind of like the film as its own thing and leave it alone. I love the music, the action sequences. It's some of the most dynamic action sequences, especially for an animated feature I can think of. I love it. I love the style. The pill on the guy's red jacket on Kaneda's jacket.
Kaneda!
I want to interrupt you for so many things just to add to it. I'm trying to let you get it all out.
Yeah, I don't know where to stop. Yeah, it's a 5-star movie for me, you know?
So I really love this movie. I have seen it countless times growing up.
There is a finite number, actually. You've seen it.
That's true. You to know. Counted times. And I agree with both of you. I think it's
about to say it aged.
It's definitely it's definitely timeless. It's the animation is incredible. The body horror stuff is unbelievable. The
city
the,
council get it out of here.
The setting is incredible. Like Neo Tokyo as like a character in this film is super dope and chaka. I was like, oh, the music is really good too. But I will say, watching it in like the year of our Lord,
I love it. 2023.
There are some definite like I'm
narrative lulls.
Well, not even narrative lulls, but there's stuff that they're like there's like little corners of this film that they're exploring, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
so I.
Well, no, I'm not going to argue about like, oh, well, I think they're good or whatever. I just think that there are turns that this movie takes that I'm wondering why we're going down this avenue, that it doesn't really add anything to the overall feel of it. And I
think that's like stuff from the manga.
Not that I'm like, oh, it's bad because of that, but I do find myself kind of feeling like it hits some roadblocks and it gets to a bit of a plotting pace
in the second act.
In certain aspects.
I want to commend you for actually going objective with Akira.
Well,
the reason for that is because the movie itself is the first half of the first manga and the last half of the last manga. So everything in the middle is kind of just touched on. So there's a lot of stuff that's truncated and it feels like kind of confusing. There's a lot of themes and ideals that are like touched on but never really explored. Like there's drug addiction, there's the government coup, there's like existence and just like are like what it means to be
that was really the most tripped up thing that I was kind of getting into is that they're introducing characters at a fucking breakneck pace, and it's like this character who you don't know, this character who you don't know, this character who you'll never see again, this character who you don't know, this character who you'll never see again. And I'm just like, dude, like maybe it's my old age that I'm just starting
you're Western, dude.
That I'm starting to feel like schizophrenic about this film. But there are things that I'm like, wait, who's this little fucking guy who looks like the fucking like a beaver? Who's this other guy who kind of looks like the guy like October a beaver?
Beaver, dude.
That's Otoboke.
That's Okotobi Beaver.
So they introduce a lot of characters that are in the movie for like 30 seconds, but they play like very plot like. Relevant roles in the anime.
They're not in the anime,
in the manga.
In the film, they're playing these huge pivotal roles, and you only see the mayor for,
yep,
like 30 seconds.
That's the beaver,
but he's a huge part. And see, that's the thing is in the manga, like those characters make the whole story feel like it's not about just one person. Like through the movie, we're seeing it through the eyes of Tetsuo and Kaneda, which is fine, you
Tetsuo!
Know.
Like,
Kaneda! But in the manga, like every one of those characters is fully fleshed out and fully thought. And the funny thing is, like the manga itself takes place, it was created before, during, and after the anime. So both the movie and the manga are the original versions of the film because the first two books came out pre-movie. The middle two books came out right around the same time. And then the last two came out 2 years after the movie was over. Damn. So like and it was written and directed by the same guy. So like the movie kind of shaped where the manga went, but so it was like the inspiration for the movie and a revised version of the movie.
Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, kind of.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but so what Jorge is saying, though, regardless of all that, as a film by itself contained to just the film, it's got some kind of, not incoherencies, but the stuff does, it's not really cohesive because these characters come in and out and aren't really substantial to the overarching
story. I would want to be like, well, you know, it's not good because of the, but there is something if you're kind of switching back between the dubbed version, back and forth between the dubbed version and the captioned version.
Oh, please don't watch the fucking
dubbed
version.
The dubbed version is hot. Well, I wanted to watch a little bit of it today because I was like, well, like, let me dip my toe. See, it's trash.
Yeah.
It's total trash, man. And it's like, it's hard to take any of these interactions between any of the characters seriously on the dubbed version because you're like, what? This doesn't even.
That's the version I had to watch today.
This doesn't track at all.
There's a part where, you know, they're interacting with the little old man child and he goes, hey, you're a cretin. And I'm like, oh, God. That was so bad.
I think this is one of the key films where I really started noticing as a teenager, don't do the dub. Like, I need to hear the actual person, the original voice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're still getting not the perfect thing. You're getting a translation either way with the subtitles.
But the intonation.
The intonation.
Yeah.
The intonation and at least the subtitles are going to be closer than whatever their nonsense they're putting in there to try to match the lips a little bit. Or the timing, you know?
There's a certain cadence to
the movement.
The Japanese language that does not come across in subtitles or trying to be dubbed.
Right. Right. And I mean, you said it. Like the intonation is like half of it's just as important, if not, in my opinion, more important than the words, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
That's what was selected with the original fucking thing you're seeing on the screen.
I always found it interesting, and especially more so on this last viewing, that they're like all of the.
That's why Bane is good in Dark Knight Rises, by the way, because it doesn't matter what he's saying; it's just
all of the Akira stuff doesn't really come until like the last like fifth of the movie. Like all of the body horror stuff, all of a sudden happens in one fucking jumble, and I really like that. It's not, it's not like feeding you a little bit of this, like it's him going through a transformation and whatnot. But when they're in the stadium and it just goes for the last like 20 minutes of the film, it's incredible.
It is incredible. And it's something that would be very hard to match in live action.
They're still trying to put it together, which is a mistake.
I don't even want to get on that. I mean, even without trying to adapt it, I mean, just the action sequences themselves and like the ambition of them at that point, because the word I guess there at that point is epic, you know, but an overused word, but it applies there.
Yeah.
But when Jorge was just mentioning the freaking the body horror stuff goes really hard, like towards the second half and the last few minutes of the movie, but when they start introducing it little by little, like one of my favorite parts of the movie is after freaking Kaneda comes back and he first starts having these issues. Like he has that thing where it shows, it's a really good freaking visual where his head goes, it's such a good visual, it's hard to even describe what happens, but there's like a freaking spectrum rainbow type effect on his head and it starts to-
Kaneda or Tetsuo?
On Kaneda. And it shows like his perceptions getting fucked up, and then his guts spill out.
His fake guts.
Yeah, he's hallucinating. His guts spilling out, and then like the floor.
Him gives trying way. To push him back in.
Like all that's of that a good stuff. Little moment. It gets me in a mode with the movie where, and I'm you know I'm more of a sucker for that, where I'm less even concerned about the plot and the stuff Jorge mentioned with these other characters. I'm just kind of vibing with the fucking movie at that point because these kind of surreal aspects later that do they serve a purpose, but just taken as like surrealist nightmare stuff when the teddy bear shows up and the fucking milk in the room.
God, dude. And like the attention to detail of all of like everything that's going on. So you were talking about the 24 drawings per second.
Yeah, the movement.
Like when you look at a scene like when Tetsuo is like rebuilding his arm with all of the metal parts, like seeing the screws and the wires all turning and coming into place, they didn't just like funk together. They all like went the way they're supposed to. That scene where like,
or even when he's like ripping out of the chair, like all that little intricate,
all of that. Yeah. Even like so, the scene where they're all walking, you know, like there's like six or seven of them all walking together, you know, and like. Fucking Kaneda's like, why are you always hanging on me anyway and shit like that. There's so much happening with all of the characters there. There's so much attention to detail and not just in the characters and what's happening with them, but like in the world itself. Like destruction is such like a big thing in this film. And like most movies, especially like Japanese movies and films that deal with like a lot of things about technology or about the things you can do to prevent mass destruction. But this film and a lot of Japanese film in general is about life continuing on after a major catastrophic event. Sure. And I mean, a lot of it's reflective of World War II stuff, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, as indicated with like the very first scene of this, where there is essentially like,
but it's looking at it, I'm sorry, but it's looking at it existentially, not culturally.
Well, you can see this as a very like direct exploration of post World War II Japan. Like there's a lot of like, you know, Hiroshima, clear allusions to that going on, sure. And like the post-industrial complex, like the military shit going on in Japan. Like there's very clear allusions to that stuff. And it's, I'm not bringing up new information here.
No, absolutely. And then they, all the other stuff about like, they have the religious fanatics, you know, and then they have terrorists. Like the world it's painting, especially when I saw it initially, you know, we're a little closer to that, at least, you know, than we were pre 9/11 and all that kind of stuff here in the West and all that. But they have terrorist fucking bombings in the thing. The life expectancy is much lower, you know what I mean? And things like that. They've got like the freaking religious fanatics, you know, which they have these details where they see him just get fucking, he eats it like a car fucking runs into the religious fanatic guy that was saying the end is near, and he has his followers. And he dies like fucking painfully burning and
like
stuff.
Like a chump.
Yeah, like all of that. And this obsession with the end times and like with doom and like Matt was talking about with destruction. But when you tie it into the real world, though, it does like it paints this picture of humanity. You know, the species has tapped into something that is just utter like annihilation, you know, and that does fucking, it has a perfect parallel to Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer.
Even just exploring the silliness of two motorcycle gangs beating the shit out of each other for...
It's too much cool shit in one movie. That's
for,
what I mean.
For nothing.
Well, you're right. Know. It's the same same impulse.
But it's not for nothing. It's because
what I'm saying is it's for nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's for them. It's like carving out their existence, because these are two orphan kids that have nothing. So they found each other and they've built this violent motorcycle gang. And this, the whole thing of Neo Tokyo feels like a city that's spiraling on the brink of like its own destruction. Yeah. So all of this stuff, like the whole town itself feels like its own character. And like it really get, not through exposition or anything, but just like the way it's shown gives you a real in-depth indication of what their life is like. You see all of the shit that the city is going through just on like the defaced monument outside of the school, right. Like the graffiti everywhere, just the fucking group, the clowns. It's just like everything is run amok. They just do random fucking violence. And it's really allows you to empathize with not only the two characters, Tetsuo and Kaneda, but like the human toll that a major catastrophic event, like a war or like a fucking, you know, nuclear bomb, or in this case, a fucking psychic weapon.
You know what the biggest injustice, though, in this entire film is how they did my man fucking Tetsuo dirty on his fucking hairline, dude.
Yeah.
That shit is so fucked.
He's like 16 and going bald
from the from the fucking get, man. I remember seeing this as a kid and I'm like, what's going on with homeboy's head? And today I was like, holy shit, man, they did him fucking dirty.
Yeah, I know, that wasn't intended, like he wanted his hair cut that way.
I mean, it's possible, dope. You know, like in the 80s, people did a lot of dumb shit. Like over here, they had big perms and poodle hair. Like maybe over there, they just fucking started cutting the Costanza in.
They're still doing dumb shit.
And like, Kaneda just fucking going for a girl who looks exactly like him.
Motherfucking kids with their curl tops right now. You know what I mean? They have like a step cut with the curls.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
I'm fucking old. You mentioned
Kaneda's girl, but like, Tetsuo and his girl, man, like their whole dream is just to like escape this fucking town.
Oh man, when she gets the shit kicked out of her, bro.
That's rough.
Dude. That is,
how are you gonna show me boobs and make me feel bad about it?
And it shows the, that's That's really mature, like, for an anime. It is
I thought
anime.
I thought you meant for me.
It's like, no, this isn't hot. This is fucked up. And yeah. It's one of the, you know, because it's animated, I had never seen anything animated with this kind of graphic stuff in it, like, at all.
Yeah.
You know, at the time.
Yeah, until Ninja Scroll.
Well, and then, yeah, and then this opened the door for me, though. Like, I saw Vampire Hunter D after this. I saw Ninja Scroll after this.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is a lot of anime that came out in the 80s was hyper-violent and, like, grotesquely sexual.
Like Gogol 13, that stuff was that time.
West was influenced by the East. The East was influenced by the West. That's been happening for a while. Over here, we had, you know, like we've talked about recently, the sci-fi action horror hybrid movies. You had all the John Carpenter stuff. You had Aliens and Predator and RoboCop. That all fucking jives really well with the anime stuff in the 80s.
And I don't think people like realize just how big in scale this film is. Like, this was a collaboration between seven different companies, yeah, and it cost between 8 and 11 billion yen. I think that's, I mean, I don't know how much that was in the 80s, but like, that's,
I just saw that in
a nice fucking chunk of change right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a labor of love, because you're not going to pour that much time. And also, again, 24 frames per second. This took a long time to draw and produce.
Yeah. See, exactly. That was drawing back
That's
then.
A lot of child labor for one fucking film.
That's a lot of whole
bunch of child slavery.
You were saying a few minutes ago, you know what they say about the kids and the biker gangs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when you think about, yeah, we have the human reasons why there's biker gangs and there's territory and all this stuff. But this was one of those movies, though, that helped me understand or helped me consider. Because usually it's like, oh, why are humans like this? Humans like this. And then that talk she has with fucking Tetsuo, explaining to him the deal with Akira and like the amoeba. And like, the amoeba doesn't fucking care why it's doing stuff. It just needs to continue consuming. It
just needs a feed, yeah.
Well, it's like, it let me know this is not a human predicament. It started getting in my head, like, this is an issue with life. And then, like, as Jorge is fond of saying, life
feeds on life.
Feeds on life.
It's true.
Right. And so that's why it was like, oh, this is that kind of energy expressed in human beings. So that's fucking, that made me understand it different. It's not like, you know, it's not to let us off the hook, but it's actually, it makes it it's a more cosmic situation. Like, this stuff is in nature.
Well, see,
like, it will destroy itself to start over.
And to the idea of consumption, that's part of where this film comes from, is for, like, in the 80s, for the first time since World War II, Japan had actually been doing well, and like, financially, they were on a financial uptick. And so there was all this extra money and this desire to not only consume, but create like movies and media. So they had all this money and everybody wanted it. In the 70s, there was only something like 84 or something like that anime films that were made, and that number quadrupled in the 80s. Dude. That's why they call it like the golden age of anime in the 80s. There's like this movie, I just fucking like, watching this, I felt the same way I did watching Perfect Blue again, where I'm just like looking for subtext. I'm looking for all of the shit. I want to know more. Like, it's not just a face value film. But I mean, that's the thing, is you could take it as a face value film, because this was the time where animators started to realize that they didn't have to make anime for anyone specific, and that made it accessible for everyone. And then in the 80s, they realized, well, shit, we're not limited. We can do literally whatever we want. Like, we did that film Belladonna of Sadness, and that was an anime from the 70s, and that was kind of wild, but it's very niche, you know? Like, you can't just
develop a cult following.
Yeah, you can't just show that to anyone and have them be like, oh, this is great. But like, Akira, since it's like not for any specific like group of people, it can be just watched by everyone and appreciated on so many different levels. You can appreciate it just for the body horror. You can appreciate it for the violence. You can appreciate it for like Neo Tokyo. And speaking of Neo Tokyo, you were talking about the music. Like, one of the awesome things about the music is it's like, it's old traditional Japanese instruments and like 80s future synth. So much like the film itself, it's old meets new, and it's like old ideals of Japan with this new like neon type washed fucking everything.
Want to hear the dorkiest shit ever?
Yeah.
It's heavily influenced by Indonesian gamelan. And at this
time, gamelan orchestras? Dude, when I learned about those are fucking wild.
You know who else this influenced at around this time a few years before? Robert Fripp and King Crimson. So If you want to listen to early 80s King Crimson albums and watch Akira, you should.
You should do both.
Are they perfect? No. There's hit and miss stuff.
Actually, do them at the same time.
Yeah. The King Crimson albums too, not Discipline, but the ones after that, like Beat, you're like, what the fuck song is this? What are you doing? And then it gets badass. And you're like, oh, that's fucking cool.
Does King Crimson use gamelan orchestras?
He's heavily, not orchestras, he's heavily influenced by the syncopation and the layering and the polyrhythms. Mm-hmm.
So those who don't know what a gamelan orchestra is, like where Western instruments have, like, you know, a guitar has a standard tuning. Gamelan orchestras don't have a standard tuning. They'll take something, they'll create an instrument like a gong or a fucking percussion instrument, and then they'll tune the other instruments, make the other instruments in the orchestra to be tuned to that specific instrument. Mm. So it's like tuning to itself versus like a standardized tuning.
Well, and see, you know who used to tune their toms to the guitars?
You?
Danny Carey, dude. He did in the 90s. That's tight.
Mm.
Probably don't need to do that, but...
Yeah.
Well, when I read that in Modern Drummer...
You're like, oh!
I'm like, oh my God, he's a genius! Doesn't make a difference.
Why does he do it?
The frequency aligns the harmony.
Who gives a shit?
He makes a portal when he hits the drum, dude.
Oh!
It's got that Inotion magic table.
Good.
It's just dope, man. Damn. It got me. It fucking got me, dude. I was like, damn, bitch. I'm leaving the church. It's over. So what else? What else? What else can you say about the Akira?
I don't know. I was trying to look through the rest of my notes, but I feel like I've hit on most of
what you
of
say
that
about Akira?
Already.
You know what they say about Kaneda?
Let's see.
What do they say about Tetsuo?
Yeah. What, you know what, too? Look, if I'm being a dick, right?
No.
Does it make sense that Tetsuo... I mean, seriously, though. Does it really make sense that Tetsuo can fuck all these people up and all these cities are, like, fucking crumbling beneath him, and then this motherfucker shows up on a motorcycle and just goes toe-to-toe with him?
No.
No. Now, the only reason is because there's the personal connection.
Yeah,
so you get
yeah.
this notion that he's not going all the way because he's still Tetsuo and
he's
holding
on to a shred of his humanity.
Okay. Well, which is a good conflict.
And towards the end where like the girl gets like sucked into his body. He's like, my body's not doing what I'm telling it to. Like my power is acting on its own.
That's the most horrific scene. It's a great fucking scene.
Because she's gone. She's gone.
Yeah, and it shows her like squeezing in a little fucking thing of flesh and then it just turns into like a little... pool of blood.
Yeah.
That's like fucking one of my favorite horror scenes ever.
Well, especially that scene where he's going down the hallway when he's first kind of like coming
to
his
fucking explode.
And he goes, boop! And yeah. they're gone.
That's what I mean. When I saw, again, dude, seeing this as a teenager, I was like, that is the dopest shit I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to see Darth Vader do, you know? Like, that's the shit I want to see someone with the dark side do. Like, this is the stuff I wanted to see in movies that I never had seen. You know?
And that's dope.
And that's dope. What else? What else at the end, though? What do you guys, though? Here's the thing. I had the pleasure to see this 2 years ago when they did the 4K release. They released it in theaters briefly. And Sophia and I, she had never seen it. She came with me. Unsurprisingly, this isn't really her cup of tea, but she watched the movie with me in the theater. She was very confused about the end. And I am... Tetsuo, like, I am a cuck. You know what I mean? Like, so what do you guys make of all that? His consciousness is transcended, right?
Well, because the okay, as I understand it, Akira creates like a sub dimension that he kind of traps Tetsuo in.
Okay. With the help of those kids.
Right.
They have left their
to sort of cordon him off from causing more harm in like the human world,
in
so to speak.
The three-dimensional vibration, dude.
Yeah, because I think didn't they say something like it's too much for Tetsuo or all of this is too strong for Tetsuo?
Yeah.
So they said something like that.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. And then so the whole like I am Tetsuo at the end, because it's not like a fucking... banger ass ending. Like it ends like that with like the you know, the abstract thing with like the circle and the light and everything.
The pattern.
Yeah.
It's changing.
Yeah, yeah. And then like freaking I am Tetsuo. And it just and goes to the credits. And I'm like, dope, dude. I need to fry balls to this movie. You know what I mean?
I actually have a mushroom brownie that I'm gonna eat and watch this shit.
I think that's a good idea. Man, so, you do that for both of
dude,
us.
Dude, on that note,
I've you know had my time.
So but. You were saying did you watch it on Hulu too, Rhett?
No, I didn't watch it again recently.
Oh, that's right.
I own it. I have it on Blu-ray.
When you were watching it, they started auto-playing another animated thing after it. I can't remember the name of it, but it was fucking weird because it started with these two like characters, Amber and Matt, and they were gonna fuck in the like a forest, and like you totally see dick, and then homeboy like finds a unicorn in the forest and the unicorn impales him. Like,
what is this?
I don't know. It was something that started auto-playing on Hulu right after this. And I was like, damn, this shit looks like a fucking trip too. Like, dude.
Hulu's got a lot of good shit.
It was weird.
I'm actually really like impressed with them with their catalog.
Yeah.
They have a lot of anime.
You know, if it wasn't for the commercials, I'd probably watch it more. But
you can pay the extra bucks to get rid of them if you want.
Pay for this as it is. My mom does.
Pay for this dick. Right?
I would.
Right, guys?
Pay to play, dude.
Am I right? Right?
Say about the young...
Wait, who does pay? Do people pay?
To play? Yeah.
To play with this show?
Yeah, with the dick. Those people that play by paying are found at patreon.com/podcast.
Okay. you got there. Got there.
Yeah.
Took you a little bit, but you got there.
He's all, oh.
No, I said the people that play. So I got the words mixed up. But yeah, patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast is a super fun place with super fun people that enjoy this show so much that they want to help us continue doing it by financially supporting this show. Sometimes they give us a little bit of money. Sometimes they give us a lot of bit of money. Sometimes they give us even more money and request that we do special films for Patreon only, which is one of the rewards that you get for signing up. We do, what do we do? We did fucking...
Killer Condom.
No, that was, an actual episode?
That was a regular
motherfucking episode. That was a regular episode.
Recently, we did Chopping Mall.
That was a Terminator. Quest.
We did Chopping Mall for that. We did The Fanatic, which like maybe one day when we don't have an episode to release, we'll release The Fanatic episode because that shit was good. But we've done some other stuff, and not just horror stuff either. I think we have to do, what is that fucking weird?
Cutting edge,
some weird.
For like 2 years, we were supposed to do that.
Well, because we were supposed to do Speed, and that almost caused the show to implode.
Hey, you've been trying to quit the show for 3 years.
I've been trying to quit the show for 3 years, and I had an out, and then I just get fucking
maniacally angry. Just get
indignant.
And then come back 20 minutes later.
Yep.
Okay.
You know who hasn't tried to quit the show?
Who's that?
Me.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You did walk out once or twice.
That was Franco's fault, though.
That was Franco's fault.
And your buddy's fault, also.
Who?
What's her name? Giselle.
Oh. Wait, you told me about that.
Yeah, it was some dumb shit. Yeah,
that's always.
Dumb. Always dumb. Always that fucking dumb shit.
But yeah.
It's always like dumb
biker
shit.
Gangs fighting each
but
other.
But we'd like
you,
to...
If you enjoy dumb shit...
We'd like to welcome back Derek Gallo back to the Patreon.
Welcome, Gallo. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
I feel like sometimes some of these Patreons like remove their pledge and then sign up
just
again
to hear
a month
their
later
names
just to
again?
Hear their own name.
Fuck.
Maybe we should just start reading the names of a handful of Patreon every episode.
Well, I follow a couple podcasts that literally will name off every single Patreon member they have at the end of the show, and I'm like, Fish, that's a mistake.
Dude, Nerd Poker, at the beginning of every episode, they'll do like 20 or 30 people, like, thank you to these people. And it's like, I feel like I heard this name last week, but... Yeah, go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and get some fun stuff and help us do this dumb show.
All right, idiots. Well, we're in the thick of Japan month. Yeah. What are we talking about next week?
Rhett had a list.
Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Ah, it's on brand.
Mm-hmm. When he said, I am Tetsuo, I kept saying, the Iron Man.
I am Tetsuo, the Iron Man.
Yeah. So, you know, another dude named Tetsuo, more body horror machine stuff.
Have you've seen it? I've seen it. It's been years. Have you seen it?
I don't know.
It's going to be fucking dope.
A long time ago.
We're doing, what's the other one? We're doing Gozu?
I want to do Pulse.
Pulse we're doing. And what was the Takashi Miike one?
Gozu. I think that's either that or we're going to do Wicked City, which is another anime.
I think we're doing Wicked City for Patreon.
Okay. And Ninja Scroll you want to do, right?
Yeah, Ninja Scroll, because Ninja Scroll's better.
Well, look at yeah. We'll that goes bro, on.
Look, I just want to say, Ninja Scroll
is better.
Fucking better.
Ninja Scroll is better.
Shout out to fucking Dimes.
Fucking R.I.P. Dimes.
Ah.
Tetsuo the Iron Man is available on Shudder.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, and so is the sequel Body Hammer.
Oh, I didn't know there was a sequel.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it. I've always heard about
it. Dude, there's so many rad fucking Japanese movies. Like, what was it? Meatball Massacre or Meatball Machine? That movie's fucking dope. Gun Girl is dope. Tokyo Gore Police is dope. Hell yeah. There's a bunch of dope shit.
All right, dummies. Well, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast for episode 381. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye, Sophia.
And we'll see you on the next one.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.